Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
That's awesome. Awesome.
That's awesome.
Awesome. Awesome.
Oh, dude, that's awesome.
That's really awesome.
Awesome.
That's awesome.
Oh, awesome.
That's awesome.
With Stephen Bradford.
Stephen! Wait, hold on. You only called me Steven when you got a little when you were scolding me a little bit.
The other day
you're like, Steven. I go, what?
I am surely not angry at you.
Okay, try again then.
Steven.
No. try your regular one.
Steven B!
Yeah! Bradford Anderson! We're here on That's Awesome in Hollywood, California.
Yeah.
Bradford is working like a dog this week.
I mean, guys.
Come on, man.
Guys,
back on the show a little bit.
I am here.
We're in the dressing room together a lot more than we are usually. It's a lot of fun.
I'm wearing the same. I think right now, since I'm recurring, they don't have a lot of wardrobe for me. Because why would you buy a lot of wardrobe for someone that's not on the show very much?
Right.
But I have these one pair of shoes. And every
Did
time
it hurt?
Every time I go on the floor, they squeak.
Oh, no.
And they complain about them every time. And yet, they...
Wait, where's Bradford? Hold on. Everyone be quiet. Oh, here he comes.
So now I have to... Every time I'm up there, I have to kind of walk off my heels. So it's good for my calves.
Dude, it was great because... Yeah, we were doing a scene, and we won't tell you what it was, but...
But it was a scene with you and me.
And someone else. And Bradford had to make an entrance. And,
super subtle.
So apparently he could be seen waiting to make an entrance.
They told me I'd be safe.
I'm like, dude, what are you new? What's going on here?
He told me I'd be safe.
And so because today I go, you know, every time you come on set, I go, Bradford Anderson,
ladies
and gentlemen.
Oh, yeah, it makes me really comfortable.
And last time, I know, I won't do it anymore because it's getting old.
It's been old, bro.
It's been old?
It's been old.
It's not that old. It's kind of old. Okay, enough cheerleading for the Jackal. But I go, Bradford Anderson. Last time I go, Bradford Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. And we literally hear a crew. We hear this. The crew guy. We hear. Oh. That's what we heard last time. And that's what I should have taken the cue. Like, it's over now.
It's over. Dude.
That joke's over.
Yep.
Don't do it. Of course, I'm an idiot.
Right.
So I go, Bradford Anderson.
Well, you did it when I messed up. So that was...
No, I did it. Then you messed up. I go, Bradford Anderson, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the one we know and love.
That was a good one.
Guy that F's up.
There he is.
Awesome.
The Jerkle.
Yeah. Oh, the Jerkle. But no, it's been fun. You know, I feel like... I feel so bad for security when I come on the lot and they're trying to be like, why the heck are you here? And I'm like, oh, I'm just going into Steve's room. They're like, no, you can't use that excuse.
Because
if anybody else walked in and said, oh, I'm just going to Steve Burton's dressing room, they'd call the cops.
They go, let him in. Let him in. He's fine.
So I love it when I'm actually on the call sheet because the security.
Me too, because then I don't have to freaking call your name in.
Yeah, I know.
Can you let my friend on? I have a drive on. Yeah. What's your name? Bradford Anderson.
That guy again?
Who? Bradford Anderson.
He's very famous.
He plays Spinelli. What's that? Is that an instrument? He plays the Spinelli. It's so stupid.
That's amazing.
Do you play a Spinelli? Yes, I do. Come on in. But yeah, it's good, man. It's good to have you here.
Oh, absolutely.
And, it's fun.
Yeah, dude. And we have a lovely, stunning, radiant guest.
Smells good, too.
Smells better than me. That's for dang sure.
I can guarantee that.
Thank goodness.
There she is right there.
There she is. Yeah, I know. There's the. Yeah, so you guys have worked together a little bit. Mm-hmm.
Please say hello to Inga
Cadronell.
There you
yes,
go.
Yes, he got
you
it.
Nailed it.
We got it.
It's funny. So, you know, it's, every time we introduce somebody, some of these people I've known for a long time, and then right as I'm about to say their name, I like think in my head, oh gosh. Don't mess it up because I know this person so well. You
or do you call them their cast name, their character name? That doesn't ever fit
in real life
your head?
Or well, to introduce it?
It's weird. Introduce. When we're on the road in our hotel room alone, he'll say, Jason.
Jason.
But no, not really.
That's only when I'm like in dreamland.
Jason. No, but so Bradford and I, we kind of hosted the GH fan club event this year. And, you know, Inga showed up And I'm like, dude, I don't know how to say her last name. How do you say it, dude? And I'm looking on, I'm like, you're in there doing the monkey dance. You're like,
yeah, I'm doing the monkey dance
in the banquet room, and I'm looking it up. I'm going, oh no, what is it?
There's no phonetics to help you out.
No, I'm like, and I'm like, here's Inga.
Well, I mean, thankfully,
come on down.
There's only one Inga on the show, so you can get away with it.
Unless they thought Ingo was gonna walk
through
the door.
Oh, there's Inga.
Right? Yeah. Oh, you just gotta go blaze through it. Go Inga instead of just Ing, because then
Cadranel. What do people, do they butcher it?
Yes, they say cadranel, which is awful.
Cadranel.
It sounds like something you pour down your toilet to clean it.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Or they say cardinal because, like, dyslexia just kicks in. And
oh,
they
sure.
flip the two
I like
letters.
That. I like that so much more.
Yeah.
And Bradford loves birds.
Oh, good. Good. I like that one a lot better than
birds.
baby birds, yeah.
So where are you from?
I'm from Toronto.
Oh, Toronto. Do they get it right in Toronto?
Most of the time,
they do get it right.
Yeah, they get it right in Toronto.
Okay.
I mean, everyone in Toronto, there's so much more relevant, I think, ethnicity that's just prominent. And so everyone has a strange name.
Yeah.
And a lot of parents, there's a lot of...
And Canadians are thoughtful. They want to say it right.
They do. They are thoughtful. Yeah.
We're like, we'll call you what we want to call you, damn it. We'll call you how we think you should be called.
Yeah. You are Inga Cardinal.
That. That's right, from now on. Yeah.
Welcome to America.
Welcome to America, Cardinal.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, dude.
Tell us, so you're born in Toronto and spent all of your formative years in Toronto?
All of them, yeah.
Oh, wow. So what kind of, what were those years like? What was going on for you?
A lot.
Were you like a city kid or were you more?
I was a city kid. I grew up in downtown Toronto, which is very much like any other major city, like Chicago, New York,
Detroit.
Wow, so
you grew up downtown.
Yeah,
wow.
Right in the heart of the city. I was an inner city kid. And but fortunately, like as I got older, my parents managed to buy a piece of property outside of the city. So I spent time in the country as well. They have this little cabin in the middle of the forest.
Oh, did you call it your cottage? Like, because I feel like every Canadian.
What do you guys call it?
Well, no, I just
cabin.
Feel like, I just feel like.
What do you mean? Why are you laughing? It's a cabin.
I say cottage.
Yeah, I did a movie in Toronto a few years back, and every Canadian actor that I met, when they were talking about their summer plans, oh yeah, we're gonna go to the cottage. Everybody had a cottage.
Everyone has a cottage.
And I'm like, that's pretty cool. They're like,
but it's really not a cottage.
You picture like a little mini house in the woods.
It's just a place you go during the summer.
Yeah, like, that's not a cottage. It could be a trailer.
Yes.
You call it a cottage.
It could be a full blown house, but it's up north, so you call it the cottage.
Okay,
right.
Got it.
Totally.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I love that. Does the Canadian government just hand them out?
No.
Yeah, they're free. Everything's free up there.
Yeah, everything's free. Healthcare,
cottages. That's amazing. Here's your health insurance and a cottage.
Justin Trudeau just hands you the keys when you turn 18.
Yeah, everything's perfect up there. It's paradise.
That's
why you're here. That's why you're here at the beach.
That's
it's paradise.
Why I'm here. Exactly. Yeah.
Amazing.
That is awesome.
So what was your youth filled with besides cottaging?
Oh my goodness. Well, we didn't have the cottage till later, but my youth was it filled with a lot of running around the streets of Toronto, getting into trouble probably with other kids from my neighborhood.
Sure.
Nice.
But
that's normal.
It's normal. And when you're in a city, it's like you can just go from neighborhood to neighborhood and it's not like a small town where you can't really be bad or mischievous because everyone's watching you and everyone tells on you. We're just like hop on the streetcar and head downtown and just do what we want. And I played in a band for a lot of my last
teen years
and I sang in it. My
cool.
brother is a drummer, so he played drums.
It was a family band?
Well, I wouldn't call it a family band. Just me and my brother started
it.
If we had other siblings, then it becomes family band,
doesn't
it?
Yeah, that was a cardinal.
Instead
of the Partridge family.
Yeah, the Cardinal family. Yeah.
Even though that's your husband's name. But,
No. Well, it's not. His last name's Hogan.
Oh, it is?
I keep my maiden name.
Oh, you did?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Because listen.
Yeah, I'm
Inga
listening.
Hogan.
Inga Hogan?
Inga Hogan.
That's a lot
Inga
of, yeah.
It
Hogan?
Sounds German.
Yeah.
It doesn't
Sweden,
look
German.
Like me.
Yeah,
and it doesn't flow at all.
Inga Hogan?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
That's
not
funny.
It's not as soft. There's
exactly.
nothing soft
Exactly. There's nothing
about
romantic
it.
About
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
or
I see
like,
what you mean, yeah.
You know?
So what kind of music did you guys do?
We were like a hardcore band.
Like speed metal? Like
no,
punk.
I had like punk elements, but like I grew up with a lot of hip-hop when I was
okay,
in my
cool.
neighborhood and reggae, so we kind of like incorporated a lot of that
That's
stuff
awesome.
Too. I guess to liken it more like that Rage Against the Machine sound.
Yeah,
that
I love Rage
sound.
Against the Machine.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That's what we were doing. But we just like weren't trying to get anywhere. We played... You know, for beer and bars.
Right.
You were 99% of the other musicians?
Yeah, we had no vision or entrepreneurship. Not at that age.
Yeah.
We didn't know what
How
we
were
doing.
How old
were
you?
It was I guess we started, maybe I started when I was 19 and then played just like early 20s.
So was the acting ever in there in your mind at that point?
It was later.
Well,
my parents are actors.
Oh, okay.
My brother's an actor.
Oh.
My husband
is an actor.
And he's an actor, and so are his parents.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Did you ever, like, when you were younger, was it something you were attracted to? Or
hated
like,
it.
Right.
Hated it because of what they did.
Right.
And they were theater actors. They weren't film and TV actors.
Yeah.
So we're really, really poor, which I just thought looked like a horrible living. Like
what would I want to do more of that?
Yeah, they were gone all the time.
Hey, we can't eat dinner.
Exactly.
Maybe I'll do what
I'll
you
do.
Do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just like a lot of actory people around, and I didn't dig it. And I was like, they were just all up in your face and animated when you were a kid. And,
right.
And,
for sure.
And it just
it's like
wasn't...
what happens when Bradford comes over. He's like, hey, Brooklyn, how are you? He's like, she's like, who's this freak? Get him out of here.
She's like, I'm never going to be an actor.
Like, all of Steve's kids just look at me with these wide eyes like, who is this weird guy?
Why is he so happy?
Well, now she's like, that's Bradford.
Know,
every time your picture comes up. Whatever.
Isn't that the guy from Blue's Clues? No, that's Bradford.
It's like Steve. Dude, that's your next job.
Totally.
Blue's the reboot.
They already did it. They gave it to somebody else. Like, yeah.
I saw that second guy. He's a bum. Get him out of there.
That's why
he's number
canceled.
Three.
Okay, so, wow. So if you're playing in a band in 1920, you weren't. Were you studying? Were you in college, or was that not something that you did right away too?
No, I didn't do that right away.
Or at all, for that matter.
I did. I went to theater. I ended up going to theater school to placate my parents' questions of what are you going to do with your life.
Right. Mm. So you just resigned to it, like, okay, fine, I'll go to theater school?
Well, at the beginning, yeah. No, I was just like, I got to the point where I was like, I think 23, 24, and they were still like, what are you going to do?
Right.
What are you doing?
And, yeah, and I'm just like, I'll be an actor? And they're like, oh, wonderful, sweetheart. Yes, finally. Finally, you joined the family business.
Oh, gosh.
No, but I grew up in it. It was different.
You.
Like,
they
I watched them do it their whole lives. I slept in the green rooms as a kid, like, in their dressing room. Rooms, like on like made beds out of coats and stuff.
That's
and
crazy.
A good sleepy-eyed like a little kid, and I'd watch them from the wings perform. And
that's kind of cool though.
It was a really interesting childhood. And then they'd all come back to the house and party, all these actors hang out like all hours.
No,
yeah, I know actors
so
partying. It's crazy. Yeah.
Did you have a bedtime as a kid, or were you just
not really? Like it was pretty loose. But my parents, I'd say, out of all those that crew, like there's a whole bunch of these actors that we still know today. And the kids know each other. My parents tried to be, I think, the most consistent within that crazy hippie
loose
world.
There's no hours. I mean,
you
can't have hours.
Yeah,
can't have a schedule.
Yeah, a lot of different people and babysitters taking care of us that we just like didn't know.
Right.
Yeah, but then I did go to theater school in Vancouver.
Okay, great.
I didn't dig it. Oh. I dropped out after 8 months.
what about didn't you like?
They tried to break you down and they try to become like therapists, and they were really adamant about me crying and I was so weirded out by it, and I thought, you know, I came from a neighborhood where you just didn't do that. Like I came from a very I don't know, like it was a co-op housing, government housing. And we're in the city and stuff.
Yeah, you
and
gotta
it
be
was,
strong.
Yeah, it was something you kind of learned to not do.
Yeah.
The opposite of, like, you can't show everyone you're crying out in the playground and stuff.
Yeah.
And so then I found it really uncomfortable that they equated good acting with breaking down my personal emotional self.
Sure.
And I felt, because I guess I grew up in it and I saw my parents acting, that I could see, you can separate it. You can get to that place. You can be genuine. But it doesn't have to be 100% from your own guts.
There are different ways in.
There are different ways in. Yeah. And we had like all these meetings and they would freak out at me and they'd say, I'm not like, and I was like, so you want to break me down and then I'm like all raw and open, and then are you qualified to like help me deal with my issues?
Yeah, once I open the can, are you going to be there for me?
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
So, and I saw other kids and they were not. And they were like, they're all emotional messes in theater school. And I'm just like, this is not my jam.
We finally met mean Canadians at the theater school.
It's it's the best. Everyone's
cracking their whip.
Yes. Everyone's vulnerable and then hooks up. It's the best.
Yeah, that is what theater school
that was Bradford's,
totally is.
That's his sole mission of going to theater school.
A lot of guys,
yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, the ratios are always in our favor.
Look at them now.
Always.
Look at them now. Blue's Clues.
Yeah. Put it this way, my brother lasted in the whole theater program, and he loved it for those reasons.
I'm sure he was fine.
He went to grad school, and then he got his doctorate.
Yeah. Now he's in teaching theater. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So what happened? Yeah. You dropped out in what? Since you're in Vancouver, the Hollywood of Canada?
Yeah. Which I also, I don't know, Vancouver fans. I was just more Toronto. Vancouver didn't suit me either.
The East-West beef?
Yeah.
We're really in Canada too?
Yes, it's true.
There's an East-West beef
yes.
in Canada?
If you tell people in Vancouver you're from Toronto, they literally will give you the like, oh.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
It is a different.
We're finding cracks in the armor up there.
Totally. Yeah. I know. People. We've been hiding it from you guys for so long.
I love Vancouver, though.
Yeah, I do too. It's gorgeous. Beautiful.
One of the most beautiful places I've ever been. 100%. That drive up to Whistler is one of the most beautiful drives I've ever taken in my life.
Yeah, absolutely. And my in-laws live on Bowen Island, which is probably my favorite place ever. Yeah. It's just, I think, as a young person in the city, I couldn't find my people.
Well, it's not as big. And it doesn't have that kind of, there's so many cool things to do there. There's so many, but it doesn't.
Toronto or Vancouver?
No, in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't have that energy that Toronto has.
It didn't have a nightlife. It didn't have, like, the bands I was into. It just didn't have that nighttime scene, and at that age, it's all I was into. Sure. I didn't like appreciate the beauty at that. Now I go back there, and it's like one of my favorite places.
It's awesome.
And I've shot TV shows there, and I always feel so blessed when I get to go.
Yeah.
But at that time in my life, I was like, just want to hang out with my friends.
Yeah, man.
So I dropped out, and went back to Toronto.
Did you?
Yeah.
Oh, you did go back.
Yeah, okay. and then I got a play right away. Literally, like a week later, I auditioned for a play, and it was like a summer play.
Did you call your theater people and be like, see, I didn't have to break down for you?
Right, no.
I got a play.
I wasn't spiteful. I am Canadian, though. There's still a nice side of us.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
It's the American in me.
Yeah. No, I just started working.
And did that play, was there something about that play that, like, solidified, like, okay, this is I that got you into like, I want to do the next play, or so there was something special about that experience?
It was my first real professional acting job.
Yeah,
actually, no, I did a play when I was 13, and that was my first one, but I was still just like,
acting sucks,
right? But I wasn't like mentally there yet. And then this one coming back as like in my 20s as a grown up, and then I was like, okay, I like this. It was a summer touring play, we went to all these beautiful small towns all over Ontario. And it was a really cool experience. I bonded with the cast, and I'm still so close with them. Yeah. That was my first real job. And then, and so then I was like, okay, I can do this. I like this. It's not what I thought it was as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I just got an agent, and then I got to book, and I booked my first TV job. And then I quickly realized.
In Toronto?
Yes, in Toronto. Yeah. And then the amount of work I put into the play for how much I got paid compared to my 2 days on set.
Sure.
How much I got the exact same amount. Yeah. I was like,
but that's just training for your pay later.
TV.
That's how you have to look at that,
right? Yeah. So. No, it was cool. I started working in film kind of like, I think my second audition I got like a HBO, I guess they were doing like a mini series type thing about historical times in America.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was called Dear America, and they shot it in Canada.
So let's hire a Canadian and shoot in Canada.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Totally.
Bastards.
No, so funny. I mean, obviously, you'd been around actors your whole life, and you had that little bit of theater school, but how were you approaching material at that stage?
So basic instinct.
Yeah.
And not the kind where I'm going to uncross my legs and cross them back.
Basic instinct. Yeah, I'm with
you. I just remember the camera was there. Yeah. And if I was funnier, then I would have done that at the same time. But not that funny. So I just really went at it from my guts. Mm-hmm. And I really tried. I tried to approach things and make it sound as natural as I could, coming out of my own, like, how would I just say this and internalize it and try to make it me? And that started to book me film and TV.
Of course, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the theater stuff, I don't think, was as much my vibe. Like,
right.
I'm not as big and animated, I think, for that.
Yeah.
Like, apparently you are, according to...
Where's Bradford? He's overacting.
He's overacting.
Where is he? He's overacting. Dude, it's the best.
I know.
I love it because in commercial, or not commercial, but auditions. Every time we're on the road, he gets a freaking audition.
I always do a
every time we have to do a self-tape, he's like, dude, you want to do a self-tape? I go, yeah, don't we have to leave at 6 a.m.? He's like, yeah, I'll be here at 4:30. I'm going to go to Walmart and get a shirt real quick. Totally, every time.
You're a good friend to do it.
And he's like, is that too big? Just bring it down a little bit. How about that one? Let's just take it.
I have so much energy. So, I want to show
about
them.
Just do nothing, Bradford.
Just say the words.
Well, but it's interesting because, like, what you saw as a kid was probably more bigger animated stuff.
Totally. And but it also gave me, like, I learned how to act through watching actors my entire life. Like, if your dad's a plumber and you're the kid helping him,
right?
Come on, let's go. We're fixing this guy's sink. You will turn on and you're like, oh, I know how to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I've been a part of it and exposed to it my whole life.
Sure.
So it's a different kind of education. Like, it wasn't like I was just like, oh, I'm just going to be an actor. I think I'm awesome. Like, I knew I was in that world my whole life. And I saw it all, and I could see the difference. I could see when my parents were into these roles that were important to them and the work they did. And
wow,
yeah.
So actor's life, man. That's
really
life.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It was wild.
So you started booking some jobs, TV. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'd looked at your IMDb before, but you got a ton of episodics. And
yeah.
Movies.
Were you thinking, oh, I can do this here, or did you always have your eyes set on doing things in the States, or like how'd that go?
I never had my eyes set on the States.
I
thought I was going to be in Toronto doing that, or, you know, wherever they fly, you know, you book and you fly around Canada.
Yeah.
I thought that was it my whole life. I was like, I'm working a lot. I've been in back-to-back series, so even if it had, like, even on the IMDb, if it doesn't look like a lot of project, I guess it does look like a lot, but each season, you know, I was in these shows for seasons and seasons and then going to the next show for seasons and seasons. So
wow.
I felt like I was kind of in a series for all my beginning years straight. Like, I was finishing one and starting the next. And
so
and
give it, like,
intense.
Like, what show you were on for how many seasons?
Well... is nothing compared to this place.
Well,
but
this is different.
In
this
Canada,
different
for us, they don't even typically go as long as shows go.
Yeah. It's like more like the shows. It's more like the British model where it's like
We go about 3 seasons, 4 or 5 is great. Like
and
usually shows pull the plug at 5. Like they like Orphan Black, when I did that, they were like they stopped at 5, I think, knowing like it's dangerous to go farther sometimes.
Unless it's Degrassi.
Unless it's Degrassi, which I did 2 episodes of Degrassi, so I'm
in
the...
And then it's on for 50 years.
That's right.
It's crazy.
I've made it into the
You made it. You're royal. Famous.
Yeah. Once you do Degrassi, people
you
are like,
Degrassi,
oh, my
you're
gosh.
Famous.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But I don't know the longest one I did. I think...
So you were on for seasons.
Yeah. And then the next show would change.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's
There's
awesome.
Some, like,
that's pretty amazing.
Know,
yeah. I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, being there.
You know, in the States, if you hit the lottery and you're on CSI for 12 years, like, that's life-changing money-wise.
Yes.
Yeah, you're done.
But creatively, there's something... I love that model of limited series. Like, hey, this series is going to go as long as the story should go.
Yeah.
We're not going to say, oh, this is successful. How do we
beat the dead horse.
Yeah, how do we expand the story so that the story just fits that 12 years versus...
No,
God, it would have
been
so much cooler if it just... We got to do what we planned.
Yeah, and some of them do. Like, my husband's on a show called Heartland, which I think is one of Canada's longest-running shows. I think it's 12 years. He's done 9 of the seasons.
Wow.
And they're in it right now. They think maybe it's the last one, but they're not sure. But that's on the CBC, and that's, like, one of their – that's long.
Yeah.
Like, that's really long.
Yeah, I think I've seen that on Netflix.
Actually. Yeah, it's, like, your kids would like it.
Yeah,
it's, like, a horse show and
stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, so, like, that – is long, but generally it's like they kind of, but sometimes it goes the other way where they don't give shows a fighting chance. Like, we'll get to season 3 and they feel like you just got your groove and everyone's knowing the characters and like got all these ideas of where we're gonna go, and networks will pull the plug because they don't make as much money because everyone tunes in to the American shows.
Sure.
There is Canadian content, but most of the networks will buy American shows, put them on our broadcast.
The ones that have been tested in American are doing well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
And they'll just buy them knowing
buy
that
them
they're
knowing
already
they're hits.
Hits.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
totally.
Pretty cool, actually.
It is. Yeah. My husband's show that he's on now just got bought back home, which is really cool for him.
What show is that?
Tacoma FD. So he did their first season here, and then they just bought it in Toronto. So then by September, they're all going to see it there and stuff. Which
awesome.
Is,
what
yeah,
was it airing
really
on
cool.
here?
True TV.
Oh, True TV.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, Tacoma Fire Department, that's...
Yeah, it's a comedy.
Oh, it is, okay.
Yeah. It's supposed to be the wettest city in America.
Oh, that's right,
that's
right.
Yeah.
We're doing one of our shows there in November, so we'll
bring our umbrellas.
We'll get rained on.
Yeah,
October. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
No one cares.
Yeah,
I care,
Inga
guys.
Inga doesn't care.
Come
Inga
on.
Doesn't even know us.
I don't, I'm freaking out
we're
here.
We just roped her in. I'm like, hey, you!
What are these weird guys asking me all these personal questions?
I've worked 2 times with you.
Right.
Who are you?
Who are you?
Yeah. Well, now we're going to know each other real well.
Yep. Yeah.
Hey, friends. So Facebook started this supporter option for creators on Facebook, and they reached out to us and asked us to try it out. And we have, and it's super fun.
Dude, it's been amazing. All this content that, you know, we always want to do anyways, but now we really get to do it and share it with our supporters. It's exclusive content.
It is.
You know, I do a Motivation Monday. You do Thirsty Thursday.
Yep. We share backstage stuff from tours. We shared a poolside chat that we had in a pool in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, it was hot.
Just stuff like that. And, you know, we try to give out a lot of content across social media. But there are some of you lovely folks that, you know, want more. And so this is for people that want to see more behind the scenes stuff, more lifestyle stuff, more things that are just kind of in the recesses of our brains.
Yeah,
that
we just released a song.
We just released a song
for supporters,
so
which is amazing.
Supporters are the first to see it. Supporters get a permanent discount on Stone Cold and the Jackal merchandise. They get to be part of a private supporter group so that they can all talk to each other and talk with us. There are so many benefits to being a supporter. And if you're so inclined, we'd love to have you.
Yeah, go check it out on our Facebook page. There's a blue button. Click Become a Supporter and check out our new song. When did you come here?
Five years ago. Yeah, 4th of July is like our anniversary date because we're such naive Canadians.
Yeah.
We're like booking our tickets, didn't even like factor in 4th of July. Yeah. So it's not even on our radar. And we're just like, we get here and we move to Hermosa Beach, which apparently is the destination for 4th of July.
Yeah, well.
Driving our moving truck in, we're like, oh my goodness, this place is a lot livelier than we thought it was. Like, no clue.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
So what dictated that change? Just like the work or
no? Well, my husband has always wanted to do this move.
Okay.
He's been an actor for longer. He's a big star back home in Toronto. He's done a lot more series than I have. And he had felt, I think, like he hit the ceiling there. And I understood that. We also don't get residuals there.
Oh, interesting.
And we get...
For anything?
We get Performers' Rights Society will give us like some back end of stuff when they sell, but we don't get the same consistent residuals for things that go forever and stuff.
Right. Yeah.
And that's only a newer thing, that Performers' Rights Society thing. Before we got nothing.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, I understood what he was trying to talk about. He's like, we need to try to work somewhere where we can have some sort of financial insurance. We've got kids and stuff.
Yeah.
And what you get here is totally different. Like, so they'll fly in the big actors from here. They'll fill out the cast with us locals,
mm-hmm.
and the pay difference is obscene if you knew.
Yeah, sure.
But we're working just as hard. We're in the same shows. And so he just felt like, you know, like any other job, you want to move up. You want to go where. So it was his idea. I wasn't going to hold anyone back. I was totally nervous about it, leaving my fam and friends and all that. And we had kids.
And you have kids,
yeah.
right? And how many kids? Two kids?
Two.
Two kids.
And
boys, right?
A boy and a girl. Yeah. Yeah, green cards. We have green cards.
Oh, you do. That's awesome.
We have green cards. Okay, no one call anybody.
Oh gosh.
My God.
What? How old are your kids?
14 and 8.
14 and 8. So yes. 5 years ago, obviously.
Yes.
That's okay. So they're still young enough where it wasn't.
Yeah, the 3 year old.
Too shocking.
Kicking and screaming.
Yeah.
No, my eldest one. He has always been really flexible. He is okay with moving and stuff, and he was down for it.
Sweet.
That was the first thing I said.
Now,
I was like, if the kids say no, then forget
it. Skate rat now?
Skate rat, yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
So California kid now.
Totally. They're so different than we are.
So 5 years here and your husband's in Canada the whole time.
No, he was at the beginning. He's going back to do Heartland, and he's still doing it.
Like honey,
right
I'm moving
now.
You down to California.
Bye.
Have fun.
I'll see you later.
Yeah, no, we went back and forth a lot. Like, I was still doing a show called Lost Girl, so I went back for that.
Yeah.
And I was doing a show in Vancouver called Backstrom at the same time as well, a Fox show. That was a U.S. show. It was one of those situations where they brought in all the American stars. And so, like, we were both going back and forth a lot. Oh, I did another one. I can't remember that. There. And then he was doing Heartland a lot. And then, but we kept going like, gosh, like I can't wait to not have to get on the plane every time we work.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, it was great. I'm so blessed that we have that other pool and we can keep working.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's
and,
really cool.
And they were American shows too often.
Yeah.
So it's not like we were going back and doing shows no one ever heard of and stuff. You guys were like, what? We didn't know any of those shows.
Yeah.
Named.
Zero. Zero of them. Zero.
If you get hired in LA
mm-hmm.
and then they find out, oh, she can work as a local there.
Mm-hmm. They try to do that.
Well, of course, mm-hmm. but do that if they can save money on your expenses But do they go, oh, if we hire her as a local, we'll pay her less overall?
Yes. So they try to put you on the actor contract instead of the SAG contract. And they do that a lot. And there have been numerous jobs that I've turned down back home now because it's almost like you're out of pocket. So they want you to, like, put yourself up, and they want you to, like, you know, give you per diem and all this stuff. And they want you to work as a local and then get paid on the actor contract. And I'm like, it just doesn't work out financially, so I'm just going to pass on that. And Gabriel, too, he's passed on a whole bunch of stuff back home for that reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes if it's a project you love.
Sure.
Absolutely. Like the last movie I just did that went got into TIFF, I went and worked as a local.
Toronto International Film Festival.
He's not great with acronyms.
Thank you. I figured that one out. I figured that one out pretty quickly. And you don't need to ever look at me again like a freaking teacher. Telling me something.
Now I know.
Or I'll beat you up.
That's your thing. Not great with acronyms.
It's not your thing.
Found his weakness.
Yeah, sure did.
It's my kryptonite. Acronyms. Yeah. Hey, Steve, what's that mean? You're stupid. Now every time we go on the road, Steve, what's this mean? What's this acronym? So how did this – so you came here and then you're doing some primetime stuff here and you're doing episodics, you're doing everything here. So how did this whole General Hospital thing – have you ever thought about doing a soap opera before?
No, I was
Have you ever even thought about it? Like,
no.
Have you ever seen one?
Yes.
Okay, so you saw one.
I used to watch All My Children when I was a kid because it was the show on at lunchtime.
It was on Canada?
School. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool. So you would see that and be like, oh, that's cool or not
cool. Yeah,
well,
my best friend's mom watched it, so she made us watch it at lunch, and then I got hooked.
Yeah.
And then we were both like running from the schoolyard across the street,
and
turn it on, eat our lunch.
And that's what happens. Yeah. That's how it happens.
Yeah. But that's like my whole experience.
So All My Children
like
was the soap that you watched.
Yeah. Wow. And that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
You don't need to know how old I am.
No.
But no, this I was like.
It's a thing called Google.
Maybe they're not right.
Maybe they're lying.
Yeah, I had no – when my agent or manager – sorry, you guys have two different things here. We only have agents back home.
Yeah.
Called me with this audition. I was like, oh. Like, literally just like, oh, I'd never
even
thought about
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, and weirdly enough, my husband had just auditioned for Young and the Restless.
Oh.
Wow.
A little bit before he booked Tacoma. And he, again, the same thing, like, oh, let's try this. And he got a call back, and he went in for chemistry reads, and we thought – you're going to be on daytime. Like, that's cool and totally different. But then he didn't get it. And then this came up. And I don't know, maybe because he had already gone through that and I'd help him prepare for that one, and especially, like, the callback and the chemistry reads. I felt like, okay, now I can kind of see what the scripts look like and they're different. And I don't know. But I was just like, of course, like, let me give this a shot. It was not, but it was not expected or planned, or like I didn't put it on a vision board or anything.
So did you audition obviously for Mark first?
Yeah.
Right?
Who's awesome.
Who's amazing. Yeah.
Thank goodness. He was like.
He's so, such a great, he's such an actor's cast and director.
Yeah. And Lisa, like, they made me so relaxed. Like her sitting there when we were on the couches, and her and I just started talking about Canada and like. Real
Lisa's
combo.
Lisa's great.
And
she was
relaxed
actually.
Me.
I mean, Mark was obviously instrumental in me getting this job, but she was in the booth. Lisa Booth, I think, was in the booth when I screen tested.
Oh yeah.
And they were like, "So, what does everyone think?" And she was like, "Oh, that guy, me." Aww. And I was like, "Oh, sweet."
That is so cool.
But it's so nice. It's so nice. She's so nice.
So nice.
You know?
It's a great office.
It is.
Yeah. And he's. I mean, reading with him is. It's such a pleasure to read a scene with him.
Yes, he's so connected.
Totally.
So connected.
And present. And, like, as soon as I locked eyes with him.
Yeah.
First of all, the no camera in the room thing, we don't do that back home either. Like, you guys do that pre-read thing. So that's even a new skill because I always play to a camera no matter what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So then just being there and sitting with the casting person, there's no camera to think about.
Yeah.
Got to, like, exchange energy and just be, like, here and present and do a scene. And it was really comforting. And I think that's what maybe made him go, oh, and, like, you know, take notice. Because it's all an energy exchange.
Absolutely.
And often, like, the camera's there. So it's, like, another entity. And you kind of you don't want to connect too much with the reader because they might be a shitty reader. And you don't know what you're going to expect.
For sure.
And it's, like, so let's just do my thing and play for the camera and just kind of take them out of the equation. But I was like, okay, well, there's no choice of that. Like, you're in the equation with me.
Yeah.
So let's do this. And it was really a cool experience.
And then did you have to come back for a callback or be put on tape at all or no?
No, again, so I walked thinking I was gonna. So I walked back, and there's all the girls in the room, like, who came back for the callbacks, and everyone looked so different than me that I was like, they're not interested, and this is not happening, but whatever. I'll just take
sometimes,
the pressure
off, but sometimes right? that does take the pressure off if there's different types, and you're like, okay, well, they don't really know yet.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go do my thing. You
they
know?
Were more in, like, flowy, hippie garb, because we were like, you know, all I knew at that point is I was in a cult. I didn't know, you know, you don't get any information, don't want any leaks and stuff. Different names on the scripts. Everything was so hush-hush, and there was no info. It was just like,
I know, we're doing some top secret stuff here. I know, it's top secret.
But because of that, like, everyone was wearing, like, flowy dresses and stuff, and I just walked in and was like, oh, I think I read this wrong. Like, I totally messed up. I'm just, like, in, like, a blazer, like, more business, because I know that the character was supposed to be the one who, like, handled the business for this cult leader.
Yeah.
So I kind of played it like that, more like a, anyways, I got in the room and there was like all these producers in there, and now who I know is Frank, was sitting right behind Mark, who I was reading with, literally like right behind, so our eyes could almost see each other as well. And there was no camera again, which I clocked. I was like, okay, I don't have to play to a camera.
Right.
So let me play to the people. Like, like I'm doing a
so
theater
much.
Piece.
It's so fun.
Yeah. Which this is like a whole different thing for me.
Yeah.
And I knew, and I could feel, I'll tell you the moment where I knew I got the job. So I'm reading with Mark. I'm reading with Mark, and Frank was behind Mark, and he leaned in, and he went like this, and he leaned right into the scene, and I went, oh, I just got the job.
Wow,
isn't that crazy?
Yeah. And I left, and I was called on the way home. Like
fast. I love those fast ones.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it was really cool. I was like, ooh, this is all meant to be. Like, you get the feels for a job, and you, like, you just know when it's the right thing.
So then you got the job, and then you're thrown into the fire.
Yeah, and thank God it was with you, because I was terrified. Like, I had no idea. I called Allison Sweeney.
So wait, was the first day? That was the first?
That was my first day.
The first day in the cafe was your first day?
First day.
Had you done some cookie murders or something?
No, my husband was in the cookie murders.
Is it called the cookie murders?
Something like that. Bake your cookie, kill yourself. I don't know. What was it?
Kill yourself with cookies.
Yes, and my husband did that. Okay, that's so funny to say that.
Crack cocaine cookies.
He was the other guy, him and Cameron Matheson.
Right, totally.
So Gabriel and Cameron were her two guys.
That is so funny.
So I said, I don't know Allison, but can you ask her if it's okay if I call her? And Gabe's like, if there's anyone you can call, it's going to be Allison.
Yeah,
and she's so nice.
Yeah,
she's awesome. And she did. And we talked for like an hour, and she literally walked me through what a day would be like here. And I was still so nervous. But had she not told me a couple key things, I would have been like, who is this? What's wrong with her?
Do you remember what those key things were?
The announcing things over the loudspeaker.
Ah.
Yeah.
Being prepared.
Yeah.
Well, thank God we had...
That was huge.
We had Fido also.
Yes.
Was our first.
So lovely.
Allie's directed here too, so she knows exactly what happens in our building. So, not to say that it's so different probably in other buildings, but it is a little bit, right? Maybe.
Yes.
But she's directed here, so she
knows. Yeah, she told me the names of people, like Frank's name and stuff too. She's like, this is the person that who's like, you know, the boss guy. So I was like, oh, thank you. Like, you know, you walk onto set and there's tons of people and you don't know who's who and
It's hard.
And all that. And I'm very professional. I like to call myself very professional, but I like to be really prepared anyways. So, and her telling me about that, about the preparing your lines, because you don't go and you stand on set with some sides and you're like other TV shows and you're like, I'll get it by the time we rehearse it a few times. And
right.
Yeah.
And then there's no chance here for that.
No. And
you're
she really
dead
warned
or
me.
You're alive.
Yes. And then I worked with you, which was so comforting. Because I was like, you told me everything as well. You were here to be like, okay, this is what's going to happen. You get up there, like, don't worry about it. Typically, you get one take if you can, but don't worry. Like, I was so, so nervous.
I know. We ran it a lot downstairs.
We ran it a lot. You told me that about, like, running, like, being okay with the other actors generally will want to run stuff with you and that kind of thing. It's like, you don't want to bug people and ask them, but
you got to be proactive because no one's going to present it to you and say,
yeah,
this
most
is the
people
time
won't
to run.
Find you.
Yeah.
There's a couple that will, but most people won't.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I think, I guess a lot of the newer people that I guess started kind of like, they were all, thank goodness, they were all like wanting to run lines and find each other and stuff. Yeah. So,
because there's a bunch of people that are kind of aligned in that story that are all new, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys. Yeah.
Which
you
I didn't know, like, that they were that new. I thought they'd have been here forever. But
so how long have you been on the show now?
Since January.
Wow.
Yeah, since last January.
8 months.
Yeah.
So have you settled in? Do you feel, how do you feel about the work now? Like, is it, now that there's maybe some comfort, Like, wait, I'm curious. Like,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Now I got it.
What?
Those scenes that we did in Pentonville. Interesting.
What?
Because, remember we were taught, remember we had a talk that day. I go, why don't you want to go there? So
same
now the
person.
Whole theater thing
makes sense, right?
Of them trying to crack the code on her. Because I could tell with her, obviously she's a great actress, and I could tell she didn't want to go to this place. I could see it that she didn't want to go because it was the turning point of her, because Willow's her daughter. It was her feeling bad about she allowed all of this to happen.
Yeah.
So it was a big scene of her making that turn and then turning on Shiloh.
Yeah.
I go, and I'm like, because really obviously understated is tough, always better, right? Yeah. If it's not there, you never force
it. Force
and we've
it.
Had that conversation. Just if it's not fine, just do what you do.
Right.
But I don't know. I just felt like this thing where she was trying to fight not going there. And I'm like, you're going there.
Yeah.
You're not. You don't have a choice.
Yeah. Right?
You got to go.
Yeah. This place,
and it was during rehearsal. I felt it because we were running it, and I was with Fido also.
Yes, which is awesome,
Which was great. And I'm like, I don't know. And then she came up and freaking murdered it.
Yeah,
amazing.
I love this. The thing about this place and the process and the way everything happens here that I love so much is something again, like we talked about at the fan thing. It's like it's two sides of it. So you're like, sometimes you wish you had more time with something, but at the same time, because you don't. You get to, like, just drop the mic on something. You get to just, like, let it out,
get it
all out there, and not worry that I'm going to have to do it eight more times and to factor that in.
Yeah, and have to worry about where you are.
Yeah, with the other angles and continuity.
And all that stuff, right?
Yeah. I've never had that freedom. Like, that
is... You're free here.
You're free.
Yeah, you're free. No camera in your face.
I mean, you don't have a lot of hair and makeup people in your face. I know when you probably went and did, like, the movies and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they are so, it's hard for them to realize sometimes. Some are awesome, like on the other stuff, like how distracting and how annoying it can be when you're trying to get to a place mentally to have someone come up and be like, oh my God, isn't he being such a bitch? And you're like, whoa, like you're inside my creative world right now.
Right.
And this is, but here it's like minimal. Everything's minimal. If you need something, then they'll come up and do it.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I feel like there's a lot of freedom.
It's interesting. From that perspective, because it is a rush, and we always talk about you're thrown into the fire here and you got to go. But there is so much more of a freedom here than there is when you're doing single camera.
Totally.
You know, and that's interesting that you said that, because, you know, the cameras are never in your personal space, ever.
You're never looking at a spot. Either.
You're never looking at a piece of tape on a camera
or
lens.
Or a tennis ball.
Yeah.
Like when I did Orphan Black, because Tatiana has so much to do. She played like multiple characters. She couldn't always be there. Huh?
Is there aliens in that or no?
No, but it's sci-fi.
It's sci-fi. So when I did Taken,
they
had all the green screen aliens on sticks on tennis balls.
They put them on stands.
And I'm like, you know, being probed. I'm like, I'm supposed to be looking at these tennis balls.
Yeah, it's hard.
Spalding.
Yeah.
Like, what the heck?
Totally. It's like sitting there.
Spalding in your nightmares.
Yeah, stupid,
you feel like
man.
You're in Castaway with
but
Tom
it does,
Hanks. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
It's really difficult.
Gives you a freedom.
Yes, to do that kind of stuff. Or like, I've been on, I will not name names, but big shows, big movies, where like the famous actor will do their coverage. And then they'll leave.
That's almost every movie.
Really?
Well,
not in Canada. There's a couple when they flew in the big American stars, and none of us do that really.
And
it's just like faux pas. It's uncouth. And we've worked with amazing, huge celebrities that obviously don't do that, and they're there for you.
What?
But there's been a few, and I'm like, wow, there you go. Okay.
We had Kobe on. I was just talking to Kobe in the hallway.
And he does it all the time. No, I'm just
kidding. No, he does it. He's never there. No. And I was telling him, you know. It's amazing that that you have to adjust and learn how to, like, I have such respect for, our process is different, right? You're coming from a whole different process, and now you're thrown into this process, which is great. It's another, you know, kind of tool in the toolbox that you'll be prepared anywhere you go now forever.
Yep.
But in the other, in film or single camera, it's like you have such, I have such respect for these film actors who can sustain something for 8 hours or sometimes 3 days of doing something. And then not only that, but looking at a piece of tape and giving an Academy Award winning performance.
Yeah.
It's It's amazing to me.
Are they calling me?
No, they're not calling anybody.
Yeah, yeah. And all of it is like tools and processes, and everyone has their own way of working. And that's why also when I'm on those other kind of shows and stuff too, there are people who work in all different ways. Yeah. And it can be annoying to other actors who don't understand their processes, but there's so many entities and so many, and I always try to make sure I'm more like I respectful of maybe that's what you need to do, even if we don't see it. Like there's the people that will stay in character in the trailers and want you to talk to them like that, and then there's the people who really need to joke around first
yeah.
to loosen up, and people look at that as disrespectful, but I'm like, that's also their process. Like there is, everyone has their own different way of preparing.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that aren't fans of that, but I
at all.
But I get it sometimes. Depends what the scene is.
Yeah, true.
Depends what the scene is. Obviously, if there is like someone,
because I've worked with a lot of guys who do that, who are just
right up to the minute, right before they say,
who are just not the greatest people,
right?
And it's that's a way different. It's a way of them messing with you before the scene.
Oh yeah, that's hijacking the scene
totally.
And I've worked with a ton of people like that.
Isn't
too.
That so lame?
So lame. There's so many lame things that happen in this business.
That's
too.
But it's so short-sighted too, because like ultimately you're all. There's a ceiling to how good you can be without your partner.
Yes, I know.
I know you need the other person.
I know, and that's why like big stars too treating like I've been on a bunch of shows where the number one has treated the other actors and day players like shit, and I'm like, you know, they're making your shows.
Yeah, you're supporting.
Awesome.
We're supporting. You.
Yeah. If don't you love those shows where you're like, oh, every actor, every detail, everyone's good. Even that guy who just said two lines at the corner store.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I love this show or I love this movie because of that.
Yeah.
And that's right. Everyone's important. Yeah. Everyone for the tone and for like the credential or whatever I'm trying to say.
Credibility.
Thank
or
you.
Whatever.
So. Yeah. Whatevs.
Cadramel. Cardinal. Credential.
Credential. Credibility. It's the name of my law firm.
Yeah. So now you're firmly entrenched.
Yeah, not that firm, but yeah.
It's never firmly in the acting world.
I'm entrenched so far. I mean, I think. The thing is, I don't know.
Yeah,
who knows?
I don't know, but it's cool because you're Willow's mom.
Yeah.
And Willow's here.
And Willow's here.
And that's great.
Yeah.
And she needs a mom.
Yeah, and she hopefully needs her mom for a while.
Her permanent mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you, I don't know if this is an appropriate question or not. Have you played a mom before?
I have.
Yeah. So yeah. I wasn't sure if that, like, because that.
Why?
Like,
because of age and stuff?
I'm turning 40. I'm going
you
in for.
You are? You look like a teenager.
Appreciate you. I'm going
well, it's kind of dark in here. Hold
I'm
on.
Going. I'm going in for dads now, and I can't quite pull it off. Like, no
well,
one sees me as a dad.
Yeah.
And
I remember that.
There's a stage probably in every actress's life where, like, oh, I'm being seen as a mom now, and that makes me feel this way.
I still struggle with it. Okay. Only because I'm in my head, I feel like a teen. Like,
what,
I feel
it's
like
funny
because
we had this conversation in the
because even if you are a parent, right? It's not about
it's
that.
Not about that.
No,
about
no,
that.
No. Because
it's
we had this conversation.
I find
correct.
Hard.
Yes.
Yes.
A couple weeks ago, I'm like, when do you stop? Like, when did you stop? Like, what age did you stop? Like, I'm 49.
Like feeling like that?
No, I feel like I'm 30. Like mentally, I'm still 30 years old. I'm not 49. I'm not going to be 50 soon, and I'm never going to be freaking 60 or 70
in
my head.
I still feel like that. Yeah.
Right, ever.
Yep.
Yeah. Right? So everyone has kind of that age where they kind of...
That they stop at.
They
stop
I
feel like 26.
But the body keeps getting older.
Yeah. But then by the time like we get really old, they'll invent something where we can all go back in time. So don't
that's
worry
right.
about it. I'm not worried.
Well, that's what you're... Is that on the vision board?
Yes.
That's
I'm
your,
not worried.
That's your next cult.
Is there an acronym?
Yes.
Is there an acronym for that?
No, not yet. I don't think of it.
DOD?
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
What's that mean?
Department of Defense.
DOD.
In the show.
Dawn of Darkness.
Oh, boy. Dawn of Darkness.
D.O.D.
Dawn of Day.
Yay! Who's the dummy? You are! That was amazing. I love it. I win.
Darkness.
I win again.
They were all successful acronyms up to that point.
They were.
Very successful.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
Dawn of Dead, I thought you were going to say. Dawn of Dead.
Dawn of Dead.
Yeah.
Well, it is so nice to get to know you.
Yeah, Inga, this has been amazing.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for, like, hijacking me at the door when I walked in.
We did hijack you.
further verifying that everyone thinks that we have like these this
motives, master plan of like, not of who not to have on,
right?
So and we're like, you just saw the whole thing go down.
Yes,
where two dummies are looking at the schedule, like, yeah, well, we have 45 minutes. Who can we get?
Yeah,
and I saw her walk. I go, her.
I know, it was awesome.
Kismet. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yes. No, so, it was really cool. Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to work with you. It's great to have you here on the show. You have awesome energy. You're so professional and you're great. So thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for doing this.
Hey.
And thanks for putting up with my buddy.
Where can people find you? Are you on social media at all?
They can't find me. I don't want people to find me. Oh, yeah. Instagram.
Yeah.
Yep.
Inga_Cadranel.
Okay.
C-A-D-R-A-N-E-L.
Okay.
She was excited when Toronto won. Yeah.
Oh, a little bit.
Yeah, a little
bit. Except, you know, now Kawhi has gone to the Clippers, but that's a whole other thing. Yeah. He should
go.
Hey,
you got
He's
yours.
Going home.
That's it. You're done.
I absolutely think
it's
that that's
now.
Where he's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's all good. I'll be watching
the
Clippers.
You got the
now.
Ring. It's good.
Yeah.
So Instagram and Ingagram.
Yeah, oh, Twitter is like Inga Cadranel. There's not a lot of people with my name. So
and
if you
on
just
Facebook,
type
it's Inga,
it in.
Inga Hogan.
No. Never Inga Hogan.
No.
Okay.
Hogan.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. So, well,
thank you for your time.
Thanks, guys. Been awesome.
Awesome indeed. Thank you to Inga for joining us. That's going to do it for this week's episode of That's Awesome, friends. I really appreciate you tuning in. You know, if you like our show, we would love it if you would rate and review it on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. It would be super helpful and much, much appreciated. Well, we'll be back here next week with another new episode. So in the meantime, we'll see you on social media, in our supporter group on Facebook, and of course, on General Hospital.
60 seconds. That's exactly how long this commercial lasts. You know what else you can do in about a minute? You can get an offer for your car with TrueCar. That's right. In the amount of time it takes to floss your teeth, pet your dog, do a few sit-ups, or just listen to my voice, you can get a TrueCar cash offer.
Best of all, you can do it from your smartphone or home. Just go to TrueCar and simply enter your license plate number and watch how your car's details pop up. Answer a few questions and you'll get an accurate true cash offer from a local TrueCar certified dealer. It's that easy. After that, you can bring your car in and they'll check it out with you together. You can ask questions, get the answers you need, so there's no surprises. Then simply leave with your check or trade in your car for a new ride.
So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today.
Get ready to get motivated with The Good Life with Stevie and Cezanne on Podcast One. The YouTube and blogging power couple warm hearts, inspire minds, and captivate listeners through intimate stories and powerful conversations with people who are making an impact, from major celebrities to everyday people. Download The Good Life with Stevie and Cezanne every Wednesday on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.